What happens when three buffoons give life advice, explore unrealistic situations, and give random topics more thought than they probably deserve? It's the Spitballers Podcast with Andy, Mike, and Jason.
A ting, ting, a walla walla, bingity, bing, bang.
Okay. All right. Welcome in, everybody.
I accept.
Yeah? Okay with that?
Yeah, I am okay with that because the extra walla-walla. It was very clean. I liked it, but it was you made the timing work at the end.
Al loves it.
Yeah, y'all are tough critics. That was a good sketch.
Thank you. Thank you. Welcome
we are
in.
Tough critics. The standard we set on the Spitballers podcast is extremely high.
We can't help it that your bar is in the basement.
He's trying to remind you that he's got a scat coming up here soon. He doesn't want a tough critic for that scat.
I see.
Not soon enough.
And I just took one of his greatest hits out of the running.
he scratched it. Well,
he scratched there, up. There goes. Ting, ting. Walla walla bing
walla,
bing bang.
Walla bing bang is off.
Yeah, welcome in one and all, Andy, Mike, and Jason. Back with you, the Spitballers podcast. Would you rather? That's a great question. And then what should be a very entertaining draft. We are drafting song titles that can describe a bad date.
Mm.
So that'll be fun. I have a feeling that there will be some surprises, and it will be very entertaining. But thank you for joining us. Thank you for telling your friends, your family about the show.
They love it.
Honestly, it's the least you could do.
I think that is the least you could do. Some people think, well, I could do less. I could not tell my friends and family.
Right.
But you can't.
Not
you
in need, exchange for it. What you're receiving.
Right.
Did you hear the scat?
Bing, bang.
I believe it was a ting-tang.
It was a ting-tang.
That's right.
Walla walla. And then some other words.
Yeah, I mean, because we don't infringe on IP out there.
No. But no, thanks for telling your friends and family, for following the show on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and wherever you're listening. And let's get it going.
Would you rather?
All right, Ethan from Twitter. Jason, very important question. Would you rather use air quotes when you say your name or use air quotes when you say other people's names?
Oh, man.
Jason.
Yeah, I mean, look, one of these, you look like a buffoon.
One of them?
Yes, because the other, you look rude. If you're saying it about yourself and you're like, oh, yeah, I'm Jason.
Right.
You know, well, this is me. You just look so stupid.
To be fair, though, you don't have to say it in that voice or with that facial expression. You can say, nice to meet you. My name is Mike.
Oh,
for those of you watching, he did that very casually.
I mean, yeah. I'm saying you don't have to lean in. You can just always have to do the air quotes. And then I feel like
I don't say my own name that much. So right. I think I'm going that route.
It's just an introduction to people. And people will go.
They'll do a double take.
And they will just move on.
They will never ask a follow-up question.
No one will ever call you out for it.
When you said that to me, as you did with a normal straight lace, this is just my name is Mike, and you threw up those air quotes, my brain immediately went, I have a lot of questions. I'm going to ask none of them. So I think you actually might have found the loophole to this. If you just say, hey, my name's Jason.
Yeah.
The people will now that you see it,
it's funny.
Right? If you see it, it's so casual. You don't realize that you've never seen someone do air quotes without the air quotes voice,
right?
Because you add the sarcasm to it.
Yeah, it's really weird to say things that have air quotes without.
Welcome into the Spitballers podcast with Andy, Mike, and Jason.
Yeah.
It's just stupid.
I think we're on to something because air quotes they've kind of, you know, played their way through. They were when they were brought into the world of sarcasm and comedy, very funny. We're a little bit past those. And I think this is a way we can, if you want to revive air quotes, this is the way to do it.
This is how you do it.
Air quotes one time.
Yeah. See, it works.
Air quotes one time will get passed over. Air quotes two times is a problem. And if you are introducing yourself to a group of people, you only have to do it once for yourself, but you'd have to do it for every one of their names. if you said if you called them by name.
This is Andy, Jeremy, and Mike. And
then
questions
brought
up.
Yeah. Okay. We broke this question.
I thought for sure that this was going to be rude when you say it about other people, but I will never say it about other people. I will casually mention my name, throw up air quotes, and no one will ask.
The best part will
be
when you're in court and you're testifying on the stand and the judge goes, please state your name. And you go, Andy.
Sir, is your name
sir,
Andy?
It totally is Andy.
You will get follow-up questions if you are indeed
in a courtroom.
Sir, I remind you, you are under oath. I know. Jason.
Oh, this is bad audio.
YouTube.
You can see it. It's do it around the house.
YouTube.com/spitballerspod.
Has anyone ever done that on the stand? Just not with their name, but just like at any point.
Oh, that'd be great if you were just like, I absolutely did not kill them.
Yeah.
What does the stenographer do? Do they have to like? Do they have to actually notate?
He sarcastically, but
he said it's serious, but he threw air quotes up.
A quick correction. It's YouTube.com/spitballers.
Oh, no, even
Spitballers
better.
Pod will not work for you.
Well, okay.
Don't go there.
Thanks, Al.
YouTube. You're welcome.
Al, if that is your real name. The Schmidler family on Patreon said, would you rather live the rest of your life with someone who is extremely OCD about tidiness and cleanliness, or someone who doesn't pick up after themselves? I mean, I have a quick answer on this one, but I want to tease it out because I don't know if I'm thinking of this the wrong way.
Well, you are, I think, a tidy person by nature. More tidy than slobbly.
Slobbly is, yeah.
Yes, as the proper word is.
I guess I'm a more tidy person.
Yeah, I mean,
I guess the OCD could reflect, it could reflect negatively, like if you know, that person might be all over you to keep things the way that they like
They definitely will be. Like, if I think what we're just trying to say is someone who is very passionate about the cleanliness of their space.
My mother used to be a little bit OCD about tidiness, and we would use this against her. It was very normal and common for my sister, myself, and my mother to be out to dinner, and any moment that she would look away, she'd look at a TV, she'd look at the waiter or waitress, we would put a little mess on the table. We'd sprinkle some salt. We'd throw a little piece of garbage on the table.
You would torture her, is what you're saying.
But it was not just your own space. It was just any space.
Just
that you
on the table. We would make a little mess, and then she'd come back.
Like she was OCD about tidiness at another place.
Yes, anywhere. So it was like she would have to clean up the mess, and she at first she wouldn't even know what she's doing. You know what I mean? She comes back and she just cleans off the table, wipes it up, and then, you know, 2 minutes later, there's a mess there again. And then 2 minutes later, and then eventually she catches on. She's like, stop it. Stop doing this. And we would never, ever stop doing it. I mean, it was.
Yeah. The other one is
it was a lot of fun.
The other one is like, I don't know. You start tiptoeing down the hoarder's train, you know, where like you've seen those houses. If you never clean up after yourself, there is a battle of wills that happens because you try to be the person that does and then the other person doesn't. And maybe there's some resentment.
This can go.
You're climbing over people's clothes, or they're, you know, the counters are dirty.
Yeah, I mean, look, I lived at one point in college in a house that was rented with seven dudes.
Oh man,
those seven dudes were seven messy, nasty dudes.
Now, are you counting yourself in there?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, okay. Oh, I just want to make sure.
No,
you sound
absolutely.
Like you're blasting your roommates.
No,
but
I'm blasting everyone who lived at that house, of which I was one. And that place got
How many rooms?
I think there were like four bedrooms.
Okay.
Something
so
like
how
that.
Much floor like in the bedroom?
Two dogs.
Yeah. In the room, how much floor could you actually see?
Well, it depended on
surface area of clothes to carpet.
it.
Did you have to do different walking styles?
Oh, for sure. Yes. Okay. There was not casual walking.
There was no as the crow flies to get to where you needed to go.
So you're no way.
Like the Indiana Jones trying to spell out Jehovah.
Absolutely.
In the,
don't
you're
make
like
a
jumping
mistake.
Over things.
Oh, I mean, you know, I'm sure there was feces on the ground. I mean, it was a disaster.
When on OCD tidy side.
When we moved out, I can only imagine they burned that place to the ground. I mean, there was no
way to clean it.
It was the only way. Like we need to rent this house out again. So tear it down, build it back up. You got to be on the OCD tidiness side. I mean, if you're going to extremes here,
one of them is a health hazard. One is a health benefit.
Yeah. I mean, you might get yelled at a little bit, like pick up after yourself, you know, whatever, but like, you should also pick up after yourself. That's
right.
That's good advice.
My wife is, she likes it tidy and she likes you to clean up after yourself, but she's not like crazy about it. You know, she's understanding, but my favorite moments are the ones where I'm actively using an item. She doesn't realize I'm actively using. And it's like, if you pull out the smoothie container, then I walk to the fridge to get the milk. And when I walk back, the smoothie container is already gone.
Impressive.
And I'm like, I am actually making a smoothie. Give me 5 minutes, please.
I've never been able to hang a picture. The hammer always gets put back.
The hammer is gone. but yeah, I think we agree on that one as well. So, all right. Skip Stone from the website says, would you rather be the first person in your house to get the stomach bug or the last?
Oh, interesting.
I don't like this question.
So it goes through the whole home. It's going through the whole home. If you're the first, then you are babied the most.
Yes.
And that's a huge one.
You're also immune while the rest of it happens.
And you're not looking at the time bomb, so to speak. Of and when you are... Mm. When you aren't the first and you see it happening, you go, because you have to take care of people in your household, your spouse, your
I'm getting
children.
Sick to my stomach thinking about this question.
Sure. So I will go first. Because if it's in the house and you're going to have to get it anyways, you may as well be the person who has the fewer responsibilities over the course of the bug.
There's hope to being the last, right? Like, you think you're going to get through it. You think it's not going to hit you. And if this question was more like, you have a 25% chance of not getting it if you are the last.
Okay. I like that.
Is that worth
the
chance?
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, 25%?
25. Yeah. I'll take those odds.
I'll take
10.
You give me 10% chance, I will still take it.
I'm not there. I would rather be...
You just want to knock it out.
But
you don't live
like
in fear of getting it.
I
don't. Why not take the 25%?
Well, because one of these has to be the caretaker, and one of these
you'll be
is
taken
the
care of at
cared
the end.
For.
You'll be taken care
no,
of.
No, you
end.
Aren't. Whoever's last to get it, the whole house is done with caring about. By the time the last person gets it, they're just locked in a room. Fend for yourself.
Ooh, there's a chance that they could say something like, "It wasn't that bad."
Right, yeah.
And then you don't get the pity
you
want.
Oh, no, there's no pity for the last one.
So
the
you
pity...
haven't changed on your need for pity during sickness
correct.
In your 40 years.
Not at all. I like to be cared for when I'm sick.
I'm
if I'm last, I'm not cared for.
Mike, are you a need-to-be-taken care of guy?
No.
You want to be locked in your own room alone type of guy?
Yeah. Yeah, mostly I try to...
Do you request a bell to ring to get some help or...
Most definitely.
Mine's more of like a an air horn.
Ooh!
Like, look, you got the two stories. You got to make sure that the people.
So you do the air horn, and it's followed by you puking.
Yeah.
I still one of my worst memories of my life was a stomach bug that went through a house because we did a trip. I was a teenager. I'd never been anywhere outside of Arizona, pretty much, and our friend group went to Chicago.
Oh no.
And we stayed in the smallest, I'm talking, you know, it's two bedrooms small.
You stayed in like Jason's college house?
Just yes. And there were like the five of us plus three kids for this person we stayed with, plus their grandfather, plus the two of them. So there's like 11 people in here, and one person got the stomach bug to start. And the horror and terror that ensued for the next 5 days. It was just a house. There weren't enough drains. Let's just put it that way.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
And it was, and you're away from home. It was not fun. Yeah. All right. Kyler from the website, would you rather watch a great movie with an unresolved ending or a mediocre movie that ties up all the loose ends? So do you want the story redeemed or you want it to be a letdown at the end?
What a letdown? I love unresolved endings.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
You're that guy?
Oh, yeah.
Do you walk away going, that was art?
No, I say that was awesome.
That was artsome.
No, because I have...
Why do you love unresolved endings? I'm so curious.
Because I have an active imagination, and I can fill in the rest of the story.
Now, hold on.
I don't need them to hold my hand like I'm a toddler.
Okay, hold on.
So you try to finish the story in your brain.
I want to clarify a couple of things here, because I think some people would say Inception, for example, doesn't have an unresolved ending. But that's not how I see this question. That ending is left up for a fun debate at the end as to what it meant, and you can have arguments over.
So, like there wasn't a resolution.
Sure, but there are movies that are completely there's just no ending at all.
Give me an example, because Inception is that's the type of ending that I'm talking about where it's just like
Total Recall.
Those are
awesome endings.
Those are on my team.
I guess I might be, but I have seen artsy movies. I can't remember the names of them because they're stupid, awful, artsy movies.
Blade Runner has a thought-provoking, ambiguous ending.
Yes, Blade Runner is the ending is just
We hate that.
It's just like Inception.
I feel like the indie movies that are, you know, day in the life of, and there's these things going on, and then the credits roll, and you're like, the heck did I just spend two hours watching this movie?
Like what happened to the rest of their lives?
Yeah, like what you told a story.
So you would much
finish the story.
So you would much rather have where like I'll take that where it's just the movie just kind of ends and it feels a little anticlimactic, but I enjoyed the 2 hours. You want the ending credits where it shows every character's face. And then it freezes, and it's just a sentence like,
yes!
Then they went to college, and they got married.
I love those endings.
Bob got a job as a construction manager. Like, so weak.
Liar. You're a liar. Tell me in the end of Sandlot that you didn't watch and see what those kids' futures were, and you're like, that's awesome. He became a wrestler. Yeah. That's cool.
Because when I watched Sandlot, I was a child.
Yeah. And that, what you say, children don't matter, Mike?
Oh, you
don't love our kids?
I am saying my ability to consume a story has changed from the time of being a child to being a grown-up.
I see both sides. But, Mike, you have to admit some movies take the easy way out with that.
Sure.
Where they get there and they're like, I can't be creative enough to tie up these
that's how
endings.
Those indie movies feel. The indie movies feel like I told a story. I'm not sure how to end it. Ooh, credits. And then people will be like, happened? And it'll be like, exactly. But it's just a cop out.
I'm guessing that during the writing portion, it's not, they're not like, oh crap, I don't know how to end this. Just do it. It's
just
over.
Just do credits.
Like this, I don't think that's the thought
process. We're out of budget.
I see the
other side of the story, I think that's the cop-out of, like, we don't know how to end this. And they're like, this happened to that character, this happened to that character, and the movie's done. Everyone's real happy.
Thomas lived a happy life, got married, had two kids, retired.
I will say that when the movies show this is the future for these characters, that when that happens, I love it. I mean, there's not one example that a movie's ever done that where I'm not like, heck yeah, man, tell me the future.
What if they started adding that as the, like an add-on to the movie ticket?
Yes.
Like you pay an extra $5 and they give you the pamphlet that says what happened to all the characters at the end?
They'd get $5 more out of me every single movie. I mean, I don't even care what it could be. Hamlet. Everyone's dead. It's like, Tell me
the next 15 years.
Tell me
years.
What their lives look like 10 years
and from they now. Remained dead.
Yeah. Oh, yes, I knew it.
All right, we're moving on.
That's a great question.
All right, well, this first one comes from Andrew on Patreon. It's me, just so you know.
Oh, thanks.
I submitted this one because I wanted to know your answer. I was very curious. You can shoot one free throw. Make it. you get $1 million. Miss it, you can never text again. Do you take the shot?
Absolutely, I take the shot.
You take the shot. Yeah. One free throw.
One free throw.
What do you think your percentage chances?
I think it is
realistic.
Realistic.
I have it in my head what I think Jason's realistic chances.
Realistic right now. Because when I played basketball in high school, I was an 80% free throw shooter. I am not that. I don't play very much.
A while ago.
Yeah, it was a long while ago. 72 years. I can't see what he's written down.
Okay.
I believe I would hit 60% of my free throws.
Oh, he gave you 65.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to be above 50%.
That's a 35 to 40% chance you never get to send a text the rest of your life.
It's not that bad.
I mean,
you say that, but I think you underestimate that importance.
No,
there could be advantages.
Your kids, you're never texting your kids.
Yeah. Oh, no,
you're never
texting
the contractor.
I gotta hear their beautiful voices.
They're not answering that. They're texters.
Yeah, but they know dad won't text them back.
They probably don't know how to have a phone call. They'll be like, hello, what is this?
So you're
taking the shot.
I'm taking the shot because, I've got a below 50% chance to miss out on texting for the rest of my life. But there could legitimately be advantages to that. Even though I love texting, I text all the time. It could be good. It could be good for me. But there is very few situations, I would say none, in life where you have an above 50% chance to do something to get $1 million.
Sure. I'm definitely going to be making some changes to this question in a second. But Mike, first I want to know if you do it. Now your free throw shooting is probably not where Jason's is at.
No, not anywhere close. I would put myself maybe 30% if I'm being generous to myself.
So are you taking the shot? What if I make it $5 million?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I like that. If you could see your face, you were considering. You were genuinely in thought. You're like, would I do this? He changed the numbers. Like, that's easy.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was like I probably end up doing it for $1 million. So, and if it's five, then yeah.
So I'm going to make two alterations. First, I want to know, would you take a longer amount of time preparing for the shot, or would you try to be in rhythm?
Oh, you got to be in rhythm. I would have.
So you go up there, two dribbles.
Two dribbles, bend the knees, spin the ball, take the shot.
Mike, are you really concentrating here?
I mean, I never played.
You don't have a routine.
I never played organized basketball.
Are you going underhand?
That's a good question. Because my granny shot is definitely better than my overhand shot.
You know what? I don't understand why it doesn't happen more in basketball, like free throws. And I get why, because it's dumb looking.
Because it's pride.
It's pride. This is the answer to my question is pride. But as you grow up and you're learning to play basketball and you're shooting free throws and you're getting better, if you just worked from the time that you were a young lad all the way through college ball and into the NBA on straight free throw banks, you could make them.
Oh, sure.
You should be shooting 95% just banking that off the back.
Shaq, I was reading this the other day. Like, it's been well talked about. He was a horrible free throw shooter, 52% or something his whole career. They tried and tried to get him to go underhand. And he just straight up said, I don't want to look stupid.
Yeah.
He was willing to sacrifice multiple spots.
I love it. Like, I would look so stupid making all of those shots.
Yeah.
I would rather miss half of them.
So
because I don't look stupid when I miss something that's called a free throw.
Here's a new question. Follow up hypothetical with a free throw. Okay?
Okay.
I'm making it up on the fly here. $10 million.
I'm in.
Okay? $10 million. You shoot until you make it. Every miss, one of your fingers falls off.
Falls off.
I don't have off.
So there's no pain.
No pain.
I'm missing a finger.
You're losing a finger.
Now, is that the shooting hand? Because
you don't get
that becomes a real problem here.
You won't know. But my follow up is
you're
like,
committed to the shot, and so if you miss two fingers are gone. You miss three fingers is gone.
So I mean, it falls off, and we're saying like it's just covered up immediately. Or is it an open wound? Does it hurt?
I mean, it can be covered up immediately.
Yeah. Okay.
It will be remaining on the ground next to you.
That's fine.
You're not. It's not gone. It's like.
But the nub is healed.
It's falling, and you've got a nub.
Can I kick it out of the way?
Yes, you can nudge it. Yes, you can nudge it out of your shooting path.
If you're shooting
65%, but you might lose one finger here.
But
it's 10 million.
I could lose.
You could use them all.
Several. I mean, well, eventually, if you miss those first five. You're going home with no fingers and no money. I will accept the game, and I will play the game if I get to pick the finger, solely because if it was my right hand middle finger.
Yeah, you're done.
I don't know how
you could shoot lefty. Your odds are going down.
Yeah, I mean, it's just all of a sudden I go from.
So what do you go? Do you go?
Well, I'd start on the left hand because I'm shooting right-handed. I would start with the pinky.
You get to choose.
I feel like I go ring finger.
You get to choose, but it's two fingers if it's your left hand and it's one if it's your right.
Ooh. Okay. So now I've got.
Also, this is the dumbest question I've ever asked.
Little claw.
No, dude, you got to keep the pinky.
Just keep the pinky listening.
Yeah.
No way.
For you listening at home. Jason is now trying out different formations of three fingers on his left hand to see which claw he prefers.
You got to keep the pinky.
No, the pinky's not strong enough, Mike. It doesn't do me
any
good.
No, the pinky's got to go first.
No, what? You guys are crazy.
No, you need to have your...
You got to have their three dominant.
No, man.
You got to have pointer, middle finger, and thumb.
Your ring finger is
You
useless.
Notice every claw machine, they don't have pinkies.
That's true. That's clearly those three prongs are their middle finger, pointer,
and the thumb.
I feel like just with the
you
opening of
are you taking pinky. The shot for $10 million?
No, and if losing fingers? No.
Okay. There's no amount of money then.
Oh, I mean, of course there's an amount of money.
$11 million.
There's an amount of money for nearly everything, which is an unfortunate.
Can I buy a ball team?
Yeah. It's a bad observation about us as human beings. That there is a price, but I think I'm down at 30%.
That really is sad, Mike. There is a price for almost everything. I mean, darn near anything. There's like a price. It's not reasonable. Can't happen. But it exists.
Yeah.
James Brooks from Patreon has another great question for us. What is the proper way to put up glasses and mugs after washing them?
Oh, yes.
Upside down or right side up? So is this, just to be clear, I want to, because, it's not taking them from the dishwasher. This is you wash them and then you put them away, or you wash
them
and you set them out to dry?
They're dry.
Oh, just dry glasses.
Yeah.
You don't have to consider any drainage here.
No. This is a perfectly clean and dry glass.
I'm just going to admit it. I don't know if this is shameful. 100% of my life has been up.
Yeah. Up is the right way, but I think the question
I'm an upside down man.
You're really? An upside down man?
Now is
Al?
This
I am as well.
You gave me
upside
the thumbs down.
Down.
That means upside down?
Okay. Correct. So, let me
Brooks,
ask
the... Brooks.
I'm up.
Okay.
3-2 we win. Question here. For you two upside down gentlemen, is this more based on water or more based on the dust?
It's got to be dust.
Okay, that makes sense. I think
can't accumulate that fast. And dust requires 3 days.
And it's
not being used.
Closed cabinet. Is there dust getting in there?
I don't know, but I'm not taking any chances. That's what the logic my brain tells me is that you can look around in your living area. And it's disgusting. Mm-hmm, it becomes disgusting in a matter of, in Arizona, a day, like stuff is already dusty. And I just imagine it getting into my cabinet.
Oh my God.
And going into my cups.
Which is apparently Al's view too.
Yeah. There's really no downside to placing them upside down. And
they look stupid.
No,
that's
the
downside.
No. The downside is if you,
they look
if
great.
You take it out of the cabinet and put it underneath the faucet, there's no rotational effort on your wrist.
That's true.
There is some science behind the fact that those that keep them down, their wrists are weaker.
Like, yeah, the ergo conversation, that's fine. But you guys are drinking the desert.
I don't.
Just so much. It's so much dead.
Pure mud
just
and dust.
Dead skin.
If this
bug
was
poop, it's everywhere.
If this was
you
out
can't stop
and
it.
About open shelves, I think you're right.
Yeah.
There's dust everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you come back
you think
to this.
You think the tiny little crack
it climbs
the
through
dust
the crack?
Yes, I do think it keeps the dust out.
Dust,
I think if you come back,
dust settles from the upper.
You're opening and closing your cabinets all the time.
That's you're just wafting
just to grab the.
You're just as soon as you close it, you're pushing all of it in. Just waft it right in.
How dirty are your houses?
Yeah, they're disgusting. These two gentlemen are not gentlemen.
I change my air filters.
Yeah, thank you. You're a responsible.
I drive a Dodge Stratus.
Your air filters cannot stop the shedding of your skin.
You're leaking your arm hair and your skin into your cups?
You are just living, walking around.
Just living.
Yeah, skin is everywhere.
I'm leaking skin everywhere except my cups because they're in a cabinet.
No.
If I left my house for 100 years and
I
came back.
Do you know how small microscopic is?
And I came back to this house and it's covered in dust everywhere.
Well, yeah,
there's
plants
cabinet.
And vines growing everywhere.
I would open these cabinets and everything is fine inside.
Yeah. You guys have so much faith in a thing.
I have really nice cabinets. they're airtight sealed.
Okay. If you have vacuum sealed, then you're a little bit okay. Because like I said, as soon as you open those up and you close them, you're inviting it all in.
This is ridiculous. One reason that I wouldn't put them downways is because when you take them out of like the dishwasher and stuff, they're not always 100% dry, and I don't want to like leak water down under the wood.
Yes, that I get.
Do you guys line your cabinets with a little extra moisture absorption?
No.
So you've got some cracked cabinets.
They've got mold in their cabinets to avoid the microscopic dust.
Mold to avoid the dust.
Mold makes you strong.
Oh, yeah.
Penicillin.
All right. Do we got time for one more of these before our draft?
We sure do.
All right. Sandwich Supreme on Patreon sent us in this question. If I text someone and they complain about me waking them up, is that on me for texting them too late at night or early in the morning? Or is it on them for not using Do Not Disturb while sleeping? This is a great question.
It's a great question with a clear answer.
Yes.
This is only one person's fault.
You're going to say that it is the Do Not Disturb that needs to be on for that person. They need to control their own universe.
Yes.
And I can just willy-nilly text anybody I want.
Yes.
Anytime I want.
That's the magic of texting, is that I can send it to you at any given moment. I don't have to wait until you're awake to make a phone call.
So are you telling me that like you don't pause and think about that when you text? Ever?
I do.
Ever?
No, I do.
Yeah.
I do. Because I know people make mistakes with their Do Not Disturb.
That's part of it. It's like, so we have our accountant. Our financial guy lives in Hawaii. So he's doing really, really bad. he lives in Hawaii. And so like 8 o'clock our time is like 5 in the morning, I think, in Hawaii, or 4 in the morning. I think it's 4 hour time. Every time I Google it, I'm like, it's way too early.
Yeah.
And I have to make that decision when I have a question at 7 or 8. But I am now aware that he Do Not Disturbs his phone.
Yes.
Therefore, I fire away.
Look, if you are a person who has, you're a professional, and you have made it in your life that you can go live in Hawaii, you know how to operate a phone and put on your Do Not Disturb. It's automatic. You don't have to turn it on and turn it off. You can tell your phone, this is the hours I want Do Not Disturb on. This is not 1997 where everyone has a Nokia that doesn't even have vibrate. You only have sound on or sound off, and there's no D&D on that. Like, that's a fine question 30 years ago. But right now, if you can't manage the tech, get out of here.
Okay, let me give you a follow-up then. I'm in the mood to modify today. What is your reaction when you do call somebody and you get the tired, you think they just woke up voice?
Call?
Yeah.
That's different.
Okay, but yeah.
I'm not calling people at 11 o'clock. Because,
but aren't they supposed to have Do Not Disturb on?
Ironically, that math does check out. Do Not Disturb should stop the call from coming through.
It does not stop the call from your contact list.
That's or your favorites or something. You can set that up.
I believe the way that works is the second call.
Your favorites.
The second call from
favorites. I think it's the first one. I think it's the first one.
I'm on it.
I think it's the first one. But if you get the tired voice, though, because you catch them in a nap or something.
In a nap?
Do you panic and do you wish you could just hang up or do you apologize?
It's too late at that point.
Did I wake you? Is that coming out of your mouth?
No, you say you sound terrible. You put it all on them.
Okay,
but
okay.
That I'm aware of. Like when
so you wouldn't make the phone call at 5 in the morning for sure.
Right. Like right. I don't.
That's
I don't
fair.
I don't call my dad after like 8 o'clock because he's an old man. He goes to bed very early, and I know that the phone will ring through.
He texts him the numbers 911 and waits for the do not disturb to go off for him to call.
And I'm like, why didn't you call me last night?
Okay. All right. Yeah, that makes sense.
The phone makes it very easy.
Are you in agreement, producers, that the responsibility is now on the do not disturber?
Definitely.
Now, there is one caveat here, which is people above the age of like 60.
Yes, sure. 100%.
Where they're never touching the do not disturb. That's far beyond their capabilities.
If you got to 50
help them.
And did
not. They also don't have vibrate on. There's no chance.
If you got to 50 and did not already operate that new method of technology, then we presume. So that's the barometer. Like, when did this thing exist? The do not disturb automatic window thing. Did that happen before or after they were 50? Then you know whether or not they use it.
That seems like an easy thing you can do for your parents.
Teach them?
Yeah.
Teach them. Like, yeah, it's not easy,
you
but
just
you can
turn it on.
You don't even need to
just
teach.
Grab
you
their
just
phone.
Turn it on because now it's on forever.
My phone doesn't work anymore. All right, moving on.
The Spitballers Draft.
All right, this is a fun one. I believe Jason made this one up. Song titles that could describe a bad date. Now, I think we were going to do movies or something, and then now we're doing songs.
Who knows?
And maybe we'll do movies another time.
Truth be told, yeah, we were doing movies, but Jason prepared for the wrong draft.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we're doing songs, and we might save movies for another day.
Okay, I like it. I like it. There are a lot of different songs that could describe a bad date. A lot of different angles you could take. I don't feel like there is, I mean, of all the drafts, there's no 101 here.
Correct.
However, I'm going to go with Can't Touch This by MC Hammer.
Very good. Very good.
Can't Touch This.
I believe it is You Can't Touch This. Or
okay, You Can't Touch This. Yeah, the official
now I have to vet it.
Name. You Can't Touch This.
Yes, with the letter U. It's not spelled out. MC Hammer had no time for extra characters.
No, not back then. Back then, characters were expensive.
Yeah, you had a limit.
Who can't touch this?
So that is my song title describing my a bad date.
I like that. So we know a little bit about Andy now. He wants to be very physical on this date. And it's bad because you can't touch this.
All right.
I like it.
That's the way you took that?
Yes.
Oh.
Wait, how did you?
I did not mean it that
way. Oh, you... You meant just like...
I did not mean it like I was trying to get handsy and they said no. Okay?
That's how I took it.
I meant like the day went bad and I am therefore saying, you can't touch this.
That's where I
that's
was.
That's how you took it. No,
I had to step in there real quick.
100% thought you wanted more of a physical relationship.
Oh my goodness.
And the date went poorly because... You can't touch this.
Because I was denied?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, okay. Man. Well, that's good.
Oh, man. I am red. All right, Mike, your pick.
All right. Well, of this list, how do I want to start it? I will go. I'm going to start my draft for describing a bad date. I will go with Don't Stand So Close to Me by the Police.
Okay. I like it. And I'm hearing them in my head now, too. So
yeah, that's...
I like it.
Sing that one.
That one's
don't
the...
Don't stand.
Yeah.
Don't stand.
The Police are like...
Don't stand so
very,
close to me.
They've always been a strange band to me because usually the chorus is like, this is like... Oh, once it gets to the chorus, this is the good part of the song. The chorus was always fine for the Police. The verses were... That was where the magic was for a band. They were a very strange... backwards type of people.
Okay,
something you and Brooks can talk about in the future.
Yeah, I'm sure. Brooks, are you in agreement over here? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
All right.
It's
so
weird.
You
get it together.
Don't stand so close to me. Maybe it's a bad breath problem on date one.
Right. Yeah. It's a personal bubble space.
Yeah.
You got those people that, you know.
Or as Jason would interpret it, Mike was trying to stand really close.
Right.
And they're
Mike
like,
was
don't.
Get close. And she's like, don't stand so close to me. Well, this date is over.
All right, Jason, you get a couple of. Of picks.
All right. I'm going to start with a great song. It's not so great for a date.
Okay. It
smells like teen spirit because
teenagers
be stinky.
Okay.
And you don't want a stinky date. You know, that's going to ruin a date right off the bat.
Okay. Yeah, we'll interpret it that way.
That's
the way we're going to interpret it is how you're saying
Interesting.
It.
Interesting.
For sure. That's
peculiar.
And my second one, my second one here from the Rolling Stones, I Can't Get No Satisfaction.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That date went very poorly.
Okay. Got it. Yeah, Mike, yeah. It's on to you.
Okay. I'm already back on the clock. Interesting.
Thank goodness.
I am going to go. Man, there's a lot that I like on my list over here. I will go. Jason is cackling.
Over. Sorry, I saw one on my list that.
You're not going to say
that's making you
no.
funny. It is. People should know this song. I don't know if you guys will know it. It is a. Are you familiar with the band Iron Maiden?
I do
sing it.
No, that's the band.
Sing the band.
But anyways, the name
what's
of
the song?
The title of the track is "Run to the Hills."
Okay,
by Iron Maiden.
I like it. Run to the Hills.
Yes, which is if you're not listening to that.
Have you
right
been
now.
To? Have you been on a blind date or a first date where you had to
no
make it through?
No,
and it was not going well.
I like wasn't really in the dating scene. It was like you meet people, you hang out with people, establish a relationship with them, and then
okay.
maybe you're dating later.
Well, I have been on one of those. I went on a blind date. It was known within a couple of moments.
That oh, this, no.
And it was a day planned.
Oh.
Like a pretty good, longer day. And so,
oh, man.
That in the spirit of that, long ago, this was a blind date that I made it through. I'm going to go with I Will Survive.
Okay.
As my second song. Because sometimes you just have to make it through bad date.
What are I mean, we're not the people to give this advice.
Sure
surely.
We are.
Okay. I mean, I guess we're pretty good at everything.
Thank you.
What socially, should you have a date like that?
Yeah.
How long do you need to continue the date before, or like, is it like, can you just have, 2 minutes and go,
I don't think there's any, if there's not a buzzer on the table, you got to go more than a couple of minutes.
I can't do, like, you can argue that it is a kindness and a blessing to just be like, this isn't going to work.
Right.
Get up and leave. But I would argue that is not very nice. And
sure.
that person would be very unhappy and feel bad. And so I could not do that. I would finish the entirety of, if you're
that's
getting,
what I did.
If you're getting coffee, if you're getting dinner, if you're getting whatever the date is.
Right.
You don't just be like, you want to meet at that bench for a date? You're doing a thing usually on a date.
Yeah, we had lunch and we went walking around a mall.
You complete that action and then you leave.
I'm saying, you're sitting down for the date and or for dinner.
Yeah.
And it, a nice dinner. I assume that's what people on first dates, they go have a nice dinner. But you know right away, like, this is not going to work.
If it's mutual and it's obvious it's mutual, that might give you a better chance.
Yes.
But if it's one direction, which was what mine was,
I feel like
it was much worse because she was very happy to be on the date.
One direction means there's only. Here's where it doesn't work. It doesn't work where you sit down, you start talking, you realize it's not going to happen. You're like, oh, I'm going to go to the bathroom, and then you never come back.
That does happen.
That
though.
Does
People
happen.
Do that now.
That's wrong. Here's where it's okay. You get to this date, and assuming this is a blind date, you're just trying to, I'll be the woman with the red rose on the lapel or whatever, right. And you see her, and you're like,
yeah, that's that most blind date stuff.
When you sit down, make sure you say, the weather is nice in Philadelphia.
If you haven't yet met, and from a distance, this isn't going to work, then you can.
There is an escape.
An escape. You never show up.
That's the exact same move as I got to go to the bathroom.
No, because you never showed up. You forgot about it.
I was in a fatal car accident.
I was never here. I'm so sorry. I missed it. Also,
that's a little bit merciful.
No, that is not merciful
at
all.
That is merciful.
No, that is.
I guess the woman in the red rose is sitting there alone.
The person who just got ghosted is sitting at that table for 30 plus minutes.
No, that's a problem.
Waiting for you to show up.
I text immediately. I say, I'm so sorry. Something came up. I'm not going to be able to make it tonight. Maybe we can reschedule. And then I ghost her.
What if you text her in the middle of the, like, or at
while
the
you're sitting
the,
there?
You just text me like, this is not going to work out. And then as they buzz and they look at it, you just go, peace.
As
soon as she picks up the phone, you just start walking.
All right, so we are halfway through our draft. I have You Can't Touch This and I Will Survive. Mike has Don't Stand So Close to Me and Run to the Hills. And Jason made a couple picks as well. I am going to go with a different direction here. I'm going to go with Smooth Criminal.
Ooh.
She's stealing your wallet.
She's stealing from me. That's exactly right.
Okay.
It's a bad date. And if I was describing that to someone, if this woman was, if she stole my wallet,
you
that's
thought,
the song I would choose.
You thought you had a good date, but yeah. When you went to pay the taxi cab, you went, wait a minute.
When I looked for my,
the
when I went to,
I know.
When I went to check my, the time, my watch was gone.
Oh, so she's a really smooth criminal.
Yeah.
That is smooth.
At that point, I'm back in because I'm like, she's talented. Oh, if she can get my watch off without me knowing.
Yeah, she was doing a bunch of magic tricks right in the middle of the date to take the watch. All right, Mike, you are back.
Let's see. Don't you get. Oh, you wait. You I did I Will Survive.
Yeah, I Will Survive.
Okay. I lost my track there. All right. This, you, again, you may not be familiar with the song, but Etta James has a song titled I'd Rather Go Blind.
Oh man. Brutal.
Okay. All right. Yeah, it's not going well.
I would rather go blind than spend more time with you.
Wow. That's wonderful. What style of song is that?
Etta James' old standards.
Oh yeah. But that's the standards lyric right
is
there?
Standards is a type of music.
Yes, it actually is.
But that
which
was,
I knew.
That's the full lyric, I'd rather go blind than spend more time with you?
Oh, no, I don't know the actual lyric.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying like that's
how the
I'm,
implication. Yes. Okay. All right, Jason, you have two more picks.
All right.
I
well,
can't wait to hear them.
Look, sometimes there's a problem on a date. Sometimes there's a lot of problems.
Okay.
But what you don't want, like Jay-Z said, is 99 problems because that's too much.
That is a lot of problems to be having on a date.
Yeah, I don't even want to tell the story of the day. That's like, how'd it go? 99 problems.
Okay.
You better have a lot of time. I have a lot of problems.
Right, so that's it. One. Thank you, Jay-Z. And then
shout out to my boy.
Shout out. And then the last one here, I think, look, you know, you're going on a date. You don't know how this person is. And I know what you don't want this person to be. And that's a Creep.
Yeah.
By Radiohead.
Ah.
Creep is not the adjective for a good date.
I like it. That was on my list.
Thank you.
Interesting.
You didn't have Smells Like Teen Spirit?
No.
That's
no,
a great pick.
I didn't have that.
Didn't I mean it's so good we did not think about
creep.
It.
Oh, in that song, You're the Creep.
I guess by the lyrics, yeah.
Yeah. Nice. You're the
Ooh,
creep.
Backfired.
Yeah.
I would say that when there is a creep, like it's usually gonna be the guy. I can't you know
oh, yes.
It's gonna be me.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm the creep, shoot.
Right.
How'd the date went? Oh, it's terrible. I was such a creep.
All right, Mike, you have one pick left.
All right. So for my final pick here, perhaps you're out, you know, enjoying yourself. People are having some adult beverages.
Yeah.
Perhaps the other person over imbibes.
Okay.
And you say, call me when you're sober.
Oh.
By Evanescence.
Oh. Yeah. Hey, at least
an
you want
an Evanescence song coming from Mike on this one.
At least you want a call later. That I mean, this is the best of the bad.
Get cleaned
dates.
Up and then give me a ring.
See, I feel like when you're saying that, though, I mean, you're just like,
yeah, you don't mean it.
Yeah, I mean, when I say call me, I mean don't call me. But also, you're a lush.
When I say call me, I mean you call me. I won't call you.
All right, final pick. I'm pretty happy with this final pick.
All right,
because it's a situation I really wouldn't want to have happen on a date. And it's a song by Gautier.
Yeah.
Guerre.
And it's somebody that I used to know.
Yes.
Because if I show up at that date.
Oh, no.
And it's like somebody that I used to date, that would be a problem.
Yeah. Like, oh, it's you.
Or anybody that you used to know.
Yeah. I could see that going poorly.
It could be good.
It could be a good thing. Like, oh,
yeah,
that's someone I used to
we're
know.
We're reunited.
Probably not.
Yeah.
So that'll do it. Jason has Smells Like Teen Spirit. I Can't Get No Satisfaction. 99 Problems in Creep. Mike has Don't Stand So Close to Me. Run to the Hills. I'd Rather Go Blind. My personal favorite. Call Me When You're Sober. I Have You Can't Touch This. I Will Survive. Smooth Criminal and Someone That I Used to Know. I did have some finalists that I we can share if we want to share a few finalists.
Yeah.
It was between I Will Survive and Staying Alive.
So okay.
Either one of those had the same meaning. Also threw in I Shot the Sheriff. Figured that date went wrong.
Oh, that would be. At least the deputies are right, though.
And then, obviously, from the top of the show, I never even drafted it, but Witch Doctor didn't seem like a good date.
Okay, that's good. I've got some classics like Heartbreak Hotel, and mm-hmm. You've Lost That Love and Feeling. I got more modern songs like Cry Me a River and Bye Bye Bye.
Oh, yeah, there you go. It's a good one.
Bye Bye. Bye Bye Bye. And some others.
Yeah. Mike.
We have, End of the Road by Boys to Men.
Oh, that's good.
People Are Strange by The Doors.
Oh, yeah. Very good one.
See, you should have gone with that one because then it's the people who right. are the yeah. problem. Yeah. Not
the creep.
You.
Yeah. Whoops.
And then there were two ice ones. Ice Ice Baby and Cold as Ice by Foreigner.
Ah, yeah.
You know, you get the cold shoulder. All right. That'll do it.
What did we learn today?
Learn that teenagers are smelly.
That's common knowledge.
Oh, yeah,
you just learned
did I just
that
learn
today?
That? Yeah.
I learned that Jason believes he is still a 65% free throw shooter.
Yeah, I think he
can. I believe I was 60%. Andy thought I was
65%. 60%. We're going to have to get on the court and figure
this out. I learned that air quotes usage without the sarcastic tone in your voice begs a lot of questions.
It's back, baby.
Thank you for joining us. I bet we come out with another episode of this show next week even. Hope you join us.
Tell your friends, everybody. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to the Spitballers Podcast. To see what other nonsense the guys are up to, check out spitballerspod.com.